What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 198 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. And the Reverend Jared Petty.
Boo!
Damn, Kevin. Wow. He's in the room now. You're not allowed to talk shit anymore.
It's all right. It's fair.
I'm sorry, Jared. I didn't actually mean that. I just need to do something different.
Yeah, I understand. It's fair.
That's really loud.
I kind of deserve that right now.
Okay.
Don't lean in, Kevin.
Cool
don't
Greg giving in. The good feedback on the Cheryl shock Sandberg, mic. We like right. that, Cool Greg. What's that, Cool Greg? I don't know when Iggy Azalea's new album's dropping out, but I'll let you know when I find out about it.
This is the Kind of Funny Games Cast each and every week right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. We get together, talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can get the show early by going to Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. You can even watch live along with us. And if you watch live, you get to watch the pre-show live. And if you don't want to watch live or if you can't watch live, you can watch it whenever you want. If you support us at the $10 or above level by getting the pre-show as part of the VOD early, a couple days early, that is, on a Friday, because this show comes out on Monday for free for everyone on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Was this a good pre-show, guys?
Yeah, I had a lot of
it
fun.
It was, yeah. And I'll level good. With you, though. $10 for just a pre-show? Seems like I'm only getting half my money's worth. Is there more?
There's a lot more. Greg.
What's that?
For $10? Oh my God. You get so much more.
There's a
you
post
also
show.
Get a post show.
Yay! Oh, that's true. Every boy and every girl, Spice Up Be Live. People all the world, Spice Up Be
There was a couple of Spice World references in the pre-show.
Oh. Are you going to see them now that they're reuniting? Have we talked about this?
He's not.
What a fucking.
He hasn't even gone to see Britney.
What a fake fan.
We're planning to see Britney.
I know, so I threw that out there.
It's not a fake fan thing. It's just fake like, fan? It's not all of them.
Who isn't there?
Isn't Posh not there?
Oh, she passed away?
But she was never in it, you know?
Victoria Beckham?
She got married. She moved on.
It's
not the Spice Girls. At this
she's
point,
not
it's
dead.
Just,
it's,
okay.
It's some 90%
spice.
Of the Spice
Spice ladies.
Girls.
You know what I mean?
All Spice.
It's not all Spice. It's just... It's old spice.
Spicy.
For sure. Let's get right into it.
This is all terrible.
I'm so sorry.
Stop talking.
Let's talk about video games. I want to start with Red Dead Online, because we have Mr. Red Dead himself.
Oh, is that
Jared
what I am?
Jared Dead.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Wow, that was good. Thank too. You. He's on it. Though. Yeah. He's
well
on
done.
It.
You didn't like it for a second, and then you realized
and then I did.
How much
no,
you
I was
did.
Like, no, Jared. No, I'll go with that. Yeah. All right. I'm okay with being Jared.
Red Dead Online.
Yeah.
Give me the deets.
Okay, so it's a beta, and it's a beta. You played some, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been
so
in there.
So did Kevin.
Kevin's played a
little. I played a little bit more than you have.
I think in terms of expertise, I'm assuming it's you that you've been playing a lot.
I played a fair bit.
Then it's Kevin, then it's me.
Okay, so I like it. As a beta, as a proof of concept, I'm fine with it. I like the character creator. I love that they invested in kind of a unique story mode as you're going in. So you're like, hey, okay, I'm kind of playing single player, multiplayer, and I can play with my friends. But anytime I don't have friends, I have very good, effective matchmaking that just drops people about the same level right in. We go, we do our tasks together, we help each other out, we split up, we're done.
Quick question. Have you tried playing the story mode with a posse?
Not with my own posse yet. No.
I haven't either.
No, I haven't tried that yet.
See,
I
should have tried that yesterday.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I think that would be a lot of fun, but I also am positive that it's not going to work.
No, you think so?
I just... God. No, Rockstar's Online, why is it so bad?
Okay, so right now, are you having trouble with connection? Are you having trouble with matchmaking? What do you have trouble
I'm
with?
I'm having trouble with matchmaking when we go into like the... I create a posse, and then we do a quick match. And then we do the small one or the large one. The large one, I was never able to make it connect. It would keep crashing. But we did the small games. And then instead of keeping us in like our groups, some of us were in different groups. Like two people in one group, one dude was just on the other side. And it's just...
Kind of how it was when we do GTA Online.
Yeah, and that's the thing. GTA Online still has these issues where it's like we never got it to work successfully.
Right, when we were trying to play last
so,
year.
Like when I was playing yesterday with Steve, one of our good buddies who's awesome, a best friend and just amazing at getting those platinums. His cousin was playing with me and he was like, "Oh, they'll work these kinks out." And I was like, "No, Rockstar just refuses to." That being said, the modes that I played were a lot of fun. I had a great time. We did a bunch of different we did the I can't remember any of the names, but we did the one where it's 16 people and you're running around with knives just...
Oh, the Battle Royale one?
Yeah.
The knives? Okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Surprisingly, it's also a lot of fun to watch once you've died, because then it's like you're choosing the cameras and you're watching people creep up on other people. We did another mode that was something about the points where the longer, the more kills you get, the more points you're worth.
Yeah, that one's
when
fun.
You get killed. So much fun.
It's like King of the Hill, but mobile. Yeah. Like you're all trying to kill the, you get the points of the person you kill.
Right.
So they're just stacking into that person and it's exponentially growing. And you got a chance to come back at the very end of the game and win still. It's really cool.
So much fun.
How's that work though? Because then isn't it just at any moment, it doesn't matter who's winning until the very end?
It does matter because you might kill two other people that have other stack amounts. There's a bunch of really weird math going on. There's another mode I really like where different weapons are worth different points per kill.
Yes,
so that
mode was so much fun.
Yeah, that's
so
really cool.
That mode, you're running around, and if you've got like just a stabbing knife, it's 7 points. If you've got a shotgun, it's worth like 5 points. So depending on what your weapon is, it changes how many points you get per kill.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're like, you die and you're just coming back and trying to stack as many points as possible.
Right. But you're like, so it's constant risk reward. Like, do I go for the easy kill or do I take the risk here and switch off to a harder weapon to try? But then you screw up and you're like, I should have used that. And and that's all happening in like 30-second bursts. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
That was based off of teams, right? It was 3 people teams?
It was teams of 3 or 4 people, yeah.
Yeah, and I could not get my group to be in a single team.
There's a deathmatch version of that too. So matchmaking, I was mostly playing earlier when the servers less crowded. I was talking with somebody, so I didn't have the matchmaking issues, but I've talked with somebody else yesterday that was that's been playing. Yeah. They've been having connection issues in general. Yeah.
We've had some connection issues, but eventually they did go away. Okay. So initially when we started trying to do the matchmaking, I think it was just the larger group setting just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, for me, it's very reminiscent tech-wise of GTA Online when they launched that. And it was the same thing where I was excited to try it, jumped in, and then ran into a bunch of problems. And that's what happened.
Couldn't get in at all.
Well, no, what's happening is, so I was here. Me and Nick made the character, had a great time. Loved this character creator. Started playing through that.
I was just like, they all not paying attention and like just looking over you guys doing it. Those motherfuckers look like from Little Nicky, like the people getting hit in the face with a shovel.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Abby over a giant bomb made is the only person I've seen put one up where I'm like, oh, that looks like a normal, that looks like a good person.
You can do that. It just takes a lot of tweaking.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we weren't screwing around.
Way too much.
We worked on it to make it look enough like me, which is generic white guy with beard, so whatever. Mm-hmm. Went in there, really liked the way they set it up, right? Like, I love this, like, we're talking about a single player, multiplayer story of like, all right, cool. Yeah, I get this. This is what I wanted more out of Red Dead story in general, right? Mm-hmm. From the get-go is, cool, you were in there for a crime you didn't commit. Yep. You've got a bone to pick with these people. I have a bone to pick. We're going to do this. And you're like, great. This is such a great place to start me at. All right.
Yeah, it's a tale of vengeance. You can choose to play it dark. You can choose to play it good. It's very much an open-ended thing.
When you're going out on to choose your quests, like you see if they're good or bad quests and if they're going to like, you know, what they do to your honor and stuff.
And they affect how that all rolls out. Yeah. I like that section. And I think the story's actually pretty darn interesting so far.
Oh, no, totally.
For the purpose of conveyance. I think the world works well. It's obvious. It was really cool to me seeing how places I'd been in their single player game were actually designed as multiplayer arenas, and I never realized it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm walking around in Saint-Denis in New Orleans, and there'd be streets I recognized from there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looked like a regular city street, but this was totally crafted to be a multiplayer event arena for this mode. And didn't know it.
Yeah,
a lot of that went on.
For the knife throwing game, we were playing in Strawberry.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because it was very much like you could go into the houses and like hide out there. It is interesting that, like, Jared's totally right. It feels like those parts of the levels were crafted for this, and it's really
cool. Super smart. Rockstar knows what the fuck they're doing, like, with all these years of GTA Online.
No,
like,
but their servers, like, the system still is broken.
There's still a lot of problems with
my thing, right? I got in, I got the story, I liked where I was going. Went off on the first real mission where you team up for the first time, where it's that horse rock, go steal these horses. It's like, great. Randomly get paired up with people. Awesome. We all ride over there. We get it. I'm almost back to base, and somebody's horse got shot. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, fail. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, nah. Went back, started it again. We get to getting the horse going. You've lost connection to the Rockstar servers.
Oh, that's
fuck.
Rough.
All right, it's dinner. Came back, did it. All right, advanced. Got to the next thing. Crashed.
No,
okay.
If that's what had happened to me, I'd have been
come
really
back
frustrated.
In. I'm like, now I'm going. All right, cool. It was the next, and it crashed again. And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go work on the Assassin's Platinum. Yeah. Like, I, and it's not like I'm not done forever. I'm very excited to get back in with everybody. Scott Lowe sent me an invite last night that popped up. He's like, you want to play Red Dead? And I was like, one trophy away right now from this Assassin's. I cannot stop, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think maybe you going to check back in around when the holiday surprise or whatever drops. You know,
yeah, why well, even just letting Christmas it go thing. A little bit longer yeah. and let server stabilize yeah. right, and figure all that out.
Figure
and what
is
the
out.
Word? We did it yesterday on Games Daily. Somebody wrote in at the end for a year wrong. Did they announce that for sure your progress isn't carrying over when they exit beta, or are they still?
What I have seen is that that's still up in the air, but I could be remembering that wrong. I don't want to
the
misquote.
Thing yesterday with that, yeah. I think Mr. Yasman or somebody sent in was just like, Rockstar, still not sure kind of thing.
I do not remember, but last I saw it seemed to be up in the air.
The people I was playing with yesterday seemed to think that like they had announced that it was going to carry over.
Okay. Yeah. Is that what you're Googling there?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah. It's, I want to be careful because I got something. The last episode of Red Dead Radio, I got a fact wrong. I was like,
oh no. So I'm just being what careful. Was it?
I had some stuff wrong about how the online economy works, so I actually put the episode back up because I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't want to get things that wrong. You
yeah,
know?
I guess so.
Totally.
Rockstar's post says, we hope that all player progress during this early period of the beta will be able to remain intact long term. However, as with many betas for large-scale online experiences such as this, there's always the chance that we may need to implement rank or other stat resets in case of issues.
Yeah, because sometimes you dump too much. You figure out that your money or your gold didn't work out like you thought it would.
Yeah,
you figure
yeah.
out your ranks don't work out like you thought they would. Economy. Things like that. And that's, I do like the Disneyland approach to the design. I really like, which is the GTA 5 approach, the same thing, where you've got kind of this giant theme park.
Yeah.
And you're walking through, and there's all kinds of things to see. There's characters and costumes. You know, you've got all the attractions. You can walk in and out of there just right there. And then there's the rides. And the rides are all the events. And so you have the free mode, which is this huge, interesting place. It's just fun to see. You run into people. You make your own fun. You get
that's
involved.
A great
you get
analogy.
And then whenever you want, you can get on a ride. Mm-hmm. And that's how they designed GTA 5, and that's how they designed this one. And I really like that Disneyland design. I think
did
that's
you
fun.
Get into GTA 5 online or GTA
yeah,
online?
I did. I did a lot of coverage for it for IGN. I'm not nearly as into it as John Ryan is, who loves it more than anyone I've ever known loving anything. But I really did enjoy GTA Online. I liked how zany it got. I liked how they kept building on it.
Yeah.
I liked when it turned into Hot Wheels in the sky.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Can you guys help me out with that real quick? That expansion was called Cunning Stunts.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone was all like, such a funny name. I don't get it.
Reverse the first two letters of those two words.
Stunning cunts?
There we go.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Really?
Okay, cool. Back to the programming.
Yeah. Again, I didn't say it was great. That's what people were talking about.
Is that really
about.
What people were excited about?
Well, they were excited about the content.
No, they're excited about the fact that it was Hot Wheels cars in the sky.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That was exciting. Yeah.
But like, was that the joke
that's
behind
the best
that?
Thing in that game.
Man.
Actually, the
I'm really let down right now.
The best thing in that game is the mission creator. I love that. I can't wait for that for Red Dead when that comes along. The fact that you could go online. I talked about the rides and create your own theme park attractions.
I had no idea about this.
Oh, in GTA 5?
You can
make your own missions in GTA Online.
We dabbled in it, but couldn't get too deep.
We had so many problems.
And
with
it's not
GTA
like generic. It's like,
we're dumb.
I can find a way to make this work. It's freaking ridiculous.
It's because Rockstar's done. Peanut was helping us, and Peanut knew everything.
Peanut does know everything. It's true. He was very helpful.
So yeah, I like it, but there's a lot of beta stuff going on, and the fact is, if you can't connect to a video game, it ain't fun. I'm really fortunate I haven't had those issues yet, but more and more people are popping in now.
So are you being drawn back to it? I mean, obviously for content-wise, I'm sure a little bit, but like, are you...
So for me, there's two dimensions to this. One is the, hey, this is my job thing. So yes, I'm definitely doing it on that end. But the other is, this is a online cowboy game. So yeah, it wouldn't matter who made it or what pedigree it had. If somebody had made a online cowboy game with a huge open deep world and this selection of weapons and costumes, the stuff you could, it's about shopping through that catalog and putting on another awesome thing. It's very much that element. Yeah, I'm so into that.
Impressive too, I feel, you know, a tip of the hat to them in terms of the way they've streamlined things from the single player campaign. And I don't know how much of it was reaction or anything like that, but like, even still, like we were talking about it, right? Like one of the first pop-ups you get is like, to get to the map fast, hold options, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
something they I know learned. We had so much problem. I like the addition that now, all right, here, as soon as you meet the guy at the post office, here's the catalog. Just order whatever you want.
You have it on you.
Yeah. Flip it over, you got it, bam, you got what you want.
One of the frustrating things is I constantly open the catalog when I'm trying to go into the player menu select.
Yeah.
Just because it's the same button. It's hold left to open the catalog on the D-pad versus tap left. So that's just a little issue.
Another thing, new to me, not to necessarily you guys, but I mean, I talked about it before, like huge shout out to using the iPad and the Rockstar app. Mm-hmm. Like I when I was playing, I was using that as my map and I was like, this is awesome.
So that works with the online as well?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I can't wait to form a posse, get out there and play with some friends.
Yep,
but there is the stabilization. They were very upfront with the fact that it's a beta and we have to be both fair. We have to be fair in, yes, we understand because it's a beta, it's not done. But we also have to be fair in, we understand because it's a beta, it's when it doesn't work, it's not going to be fun. Mm. And those things are both true.
Mm. But Kev, so do you really think you're going to invest a lot more time into... step back. Red Dead 2, have you beat it yet?
No, I haven't beaten it. I do want to beat it. The story, I'm enjoying it very much. I just have been playing other things, specifically Tetris. We'll talk about that later.
How far along are you, Kevin?
I'm only about, I think, a third story-wise.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're,
there's so much
I just got
happen.
To New Orleans.
Are you spoiled?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you spoiled it.
Sorry.
Like, last. No. I had the option to walk away.
Okay.
But actually, you spoiling it made me more interested in the story.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to experience what you told
me. So, with the story, knowing where it goes and all that, and then with what you've seen of online and its story and where it's going, which are you more interested to get back into?
Definitely the online. And it's not necessarily because the story on the online, which does look really cool. It's more of the quick matches and playing those fun modes because I had a blast last night.
That's
awesome. So I also want to build a posse.
There's this little trailer.
Jared wants you to invite him to your posse.
Okay. We'll have to make this work.
Jared, do you use headphones?
Huh?
Do you use
headphones? What
like,
are those?
Are you talking? Do you have a mic
no,
on?
No, I don't
playing?
Talk to
yeah, see, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
It. Well, I could turn it on for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're special.
Forever.
But I own a headset. It has been plugged in a couple of times. There's a thing at the end of the first hour tutorial, Greg, you may remember this, where they show kind of all the modes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of the things they do is, like, team up with your posse. And it just shows, like, you and three other people in the street, like in the Western gunfighter thing, and then like sweeping across the field on horseback, Silverado style. And I got like a little shiver. I'm like, when I'm doing that, I'm so in. When it's like the four of us riding across
riding
the
together.
Field, like that's going to be rad. So now I just got to get that together.
You've been playing more after night one. You were talking about getting shot all the time. Is that still happening? Like people griefing?
I didn't mess around too much in
open world,
like I wasn't doing the story mode on the online.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So I was just jumping in to match that. I didn't have anyone come and shoot me up. But yeah, the first night, every single goddamn person that passed me would just pull out their gun and shoot me. And it was one of those things that like 2 minutes in, I was super paranoid and I killed a bunch of random NPCs that were just walking towards me, not trying to kill me.
Yeah. And no, it's the same issue you had when GTA 5 first launched. They're going to have to institute passive mode.
Yeah.
I imagine they're testing what happens. Like when you have passive mode off right now, but I can't imagine they designed this without a switch they can flip on their end right away to turn that on. Because that became one of the earliest things they had to introduce to GTA 5 to balance.
Real quick, that being said, when someone kills you, they'll show up on the map as a red blip.
Yeah.
And then you can go and kill them.
Yeah.
And then if they kill you back, it starts this like weird back and forth thing.
Rivalry blood thing?
Feud. Yeah, yeah, rivalry. But there
blood
was
feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they call it that, but it's a rivalry. Yeah.
But they call it something.
If you're listening.
Well, no, if you become a rival, you can interfere with other people's missions eventually. Like you,
yes.
There's stuff built in where like your rival's trying to do
that's
something
pretty, yeah.
And it alerts you. And it's like you could screw their mission up.
That actually happened for me where they were doing some delivery or something. And it notified me like, hey, your rival's doing a delivery. And I went, I fucked him up.
This guy.
I got him good.
And you get the
listen
reward
here,
if you screw it up. That's so like, you, yeah. That
I didn't screw it up all the way and they ended up making it, which made me really bummed. Yeah. But then when they came out of like dropping it off, oh man, I killed him real good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great. Do you think you're going to invest a lot more time in that?
I mean, I still need to get my feet under me on it, right? And I want to play more of it, and I want to jump in with everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to. I don't know how much I'll end up doing.
You should posse up tonight.
Okay.
What's the word on a?
Oh
like,
wait, no, I gotta write the script for the
beta
show.
Release date and all that stuff.
Yeah, there no they're official like, word. I think they're going when it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think they learned their lesson last time around with that.
Yeah.
They're gonna they're going to declare this a stable product when it's stable and not before.
Yeah. So I'm actually impressed that they got the online even out this early, how close to release it is.
Like, I think they wanted to get it out before Christmas, probably for two reasons. Again, one, traditionally they do a Christmas drop online, and two, I think that they wanted to do it while people were still had the discs in the drives and the download queued up. You know, you got it in that top menu and get it into that. That's going to bring a lot more people
in. It's still so crazy. It's been a month.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like it's been a month since Red Dead 2 came out. It feels like it just happened, but it's not. There's been a lot of time and a lot of games and a lot of different things that have happened.
I don't really note the passage of time anymore. Right. I'm not sure how it works. You have to sleep to know when time happens.
Sure.
What were you going to say, Kev?
Oh, I was just going to ask, do you guys know how the like tier system is working for people joining the beta?
What, like how it's rolling out?
Yeah.
Started with Ultimate Edition, and then it went to people that played on launch day, and then tomorrow it rolls out to everybody.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's going to be, like, the server's definitely going to break tomorrow.
Next up, I want to talk about Tetris Effect.
Excellent.
The reason we have you here.
Buddy.
You've been playing a lot in PSVR.
No, I haven't been playing in the VR.
Why?
Just because I have to set it up, and that's a little bit more of a hassle than I wanted
to. So, I mean, here's a question to you. Uh-huh. I mean, I already have my answer, but have you played in VR already?
I have played in VR. And
the VR is not good enough to be worth setting it up to do.
No, see, that's not the answer at all. It is, and it's one of those things. I'm going to set that boy up, and I'm going to be there till like 4 in the morning. I know it. So that's one of the things that's slowing me down on not setting it up.
Are you playing upstairs because your VR unit's downstairs?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, you want to be around Paul, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I read.
And Tetris is one of those games that like you can play and not, you know, you're watching a movie on the side, and it's totally fine. God, I love Tetris. And this game is so good.
Playing with headphones on. Have you beaten the marathon and all that, Jess?
Huh?
Have you beaten, like, the... What? I'm not even campaign.
No, I think it's called story, right?
Yeah.
So I'm doing the story right now. I was doing just the normal mode and making sure I was A-starring everything.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, shit, there's an expert mode. And I switched over to that, like, 2 days ago. And I'm trying to A-star everything there. And I can't get past the first little block.
Which is it's hard,
insane, yeah. But, like, I feel like I'm pretty good at Tetris, and to not get over this A star, I am having an issue that whenever I'm trying to go left and right, sometimes I click down.
Ah,
so I'm trying to figure out
those fat fingers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those fat fingers,
sausage like appendages.
Mm-hmm. All right, slow down, Jared. All right,
I have never understood being good at Tetris. I play Tetris. I am fine. I'm definitely not good at it. And it's like, but when people are like, I'm the fucking best ever, I'm just like,
I'm not saying I'm the best.
I didn't realize people were like that until I met, like, you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, you're a savant when it comes to this shit.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it.
Which is when you're playing with the, like, where it's instead of, like, dropping, it's immediately hitting the bottom. And the play style you have to do is switch it over to the, like, the compartment you have, the hold.
Yeah, you hold.
Like, that, I feel like that's a higher level of playing.
What's the strategy, though, with the squiggles?
T-spins? What do you mean, the squiggles?
The ones that look like forks.
Oh, the Z's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's the strategy?
Like, where do you put them? Say that's your first one coming down.
Oh, I usually stack it so the flat part, like, you know how there's a hole?
This is...
Yeah. I stack them to the appropriate size.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't put... I don't have it as a Z or an S. I have it up vertical. On its side.
Okay. Are you constantly building for a Tetris?
Yes. That's how you're supposed to play Tetris, right?
Yeah, that's how you get the points.
Yeah, exactly.
You're playing for points in modern Tetris. Mm-hmm. I'm not any good at Tetris either. I'm with you, Tim. I'm always just playing for lines. For me, it's more of a chill thing, which is another reason I enjoy this game, because, yes, you can be super competitive and go for great, but it's also a great kind of zen experience if you don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
It's just as much fun.
Yeah.
And I like that as well, but you were talking about being good at it. I mean, you hang around the Japanese arcades where there's some of the old Tetris arcade machines still and watch... You ever watch any of the YouTube videos
of people playing
Invisible Tetris?
Yeah.
It's just...
Invisible Tetris?
Yeah. There's one of the arcade games. If you get far enough toward the credit sequence, the blocks turn invisible. And you've still got people racking up lines with invisible Tetris blocks. It's unreal.
That's insane.
Yeah, watch this.
You know what's bullshit? That there's no Tetris level in Smash Brothers.
Huh.
Yeah,
well, I guess you have to license it from the Tetris company.
But the Tetris theme song... is in Smash Brothers.
Okay.
It was in the Luigi's Mansion.
Man, just jumping from Tetris block to Tetris block.
But like, yeah, imagine like the level.
That would
and then
be
like
really
the blocks
cool.
Are
yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know anyway because all you would do is play on the flat levels.
That's fine.
With your items off.
Hey, with the good music, though. That's mm-hmm. what it's all
great
about.
Great music.
Well, you got the music already.
I want you to train me in Tetris at some point. Just give me that basics course.
Here's the thing about Tetris Effect, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's just humbled me. Like, mm-hmm. it's Tetris Effect has humbled me, because it was for the longest time that... me and Colin had the Tetris rivalry, and we would play and do the. We have a whole bunch of Let's Plays up on Kind of Funny about it. And even when we were at IGN, I would play people in Tetris and stuff, and I was like, "Man, no, I'm really good at Tetris, right?" Mm. But then seeing like Justin from the PlayStation blog play and see what some people are putting up from Tetris Effect, and then like when I played on night one, I was like, "I'm gonna be able just to crush through this," and got I forget to what part, and it was like stopped, and I was like, "Oh," and then did it again, and got stopped earlier, and I was like. Oh, and then it's that thing of I haven't had a Tetris I've been all about in so long that I totally forgot that, like, Lumines is my game. Like, Lumines is, you've seen me play Lumines. Yes. Lumines, I stand by. Like, yeah, not, and of course now some, everybody's a bit of, yes, I know you're really good at Lumines as well. I'm not saying I'm the world's best Lumines player, but, like, Lumines is a one where I would
you're
be
1%.
Like.
There's a part of your brain that's just given over specifically to Lumines.
Exactly, and so incredible. Even playing Tetris, it is, like, awesome, and I love it, and I need to get back to Tetris Effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been playing PlayStation VR every day with Beat Saber, so it's right there, but I'm just so in love with Beat Saber that I'm not doubling back to it. And then Assassins and this, and there's all these other games that are there. Tetris is, like Puyo Puyo Tetris on the Switch, right, is always there. That is such a plain game when I'm like, I'm done doing this, but I don't want something too heavy. I do want to have something on the screen. I'll put that on and play that. But even there, it's just that thing of like, oof, man, like I need to learn some pro strats and get a little bit better and further, because eventually it starts speeding up. And you're like, ugh.
I think that there's something different about when I'm playing the Puyo Puyo Tetris on just on the Tetris mode.
Yeah,
I like there's for whatever reason there's a 150 line like cap. So when you get to 150 lines, it resets, and I've gotten to the point where I can do that in like 13 minutes or something, and it's going incredibly fast. But whenever I'm playing Tetris Effect. I can't get that same groove.
Yeah.
It might be because...
How good are you... I'm sorry. You can finish your...
I think one of the issues is, for whatever reason, the button mashing and accidentally hitting down, because that fucks me all the time. Sure. But another thing is, in every level, the gear... Like, the Tetrinos... Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tetrinos, different. Yeah. Like, they're made of different pieces.
Yeah.
And a couple of them really suck.
Okay.
Where it's like, I don't, something about being able to distinguish the shapes clearly.
No, totally. In Lumines, that happens to me too. There's a couple of different skins that pop up, and I'm like, oof, I start failing because it's not, they're a little bit different.
You got to recalculate.
Are you using zone efficiently in Tetris Effect?
Because
that was the other thing of like when I was playing, it was
zone.
Like.
Zone. I felt like I was on regular where I was getting 10 and 12 a fair amount.
Yeah.
But now that I've gone over to the expert, I'm not.
So zone and Tetris Effect, one of the things they introduce is zone, which is a little meter over on your left that's filling in.
It's really
and
cool.
Basically what happens is when you do it, the lines you get, hopefully Tetrises, they don't go away. They just move to the bottom and bring more stuff up. So the idea is that you do it, and then rather than have to worry about setting up the Tetris, you're building up more and more lines. That you're just making one line.
It allows you to surpass the 4-block limit of the Tetris.
And then you're supposed to knock it out. But like it was... I don't know what it was. At E3, when I played it, it made sense, and I did really well and completed the demo, and they were all like, oh, man, you know, again, Justin from PlayStation Blog, he kicked the crap out of your score, but you're one of the few other people who have finished it. I'm like, yeah, I'm still great at Tetris. And then at home, I've done it. Like, I only played, like, maybe opening night and a little bit the second. It was just like, ooh, I just cannot figure it out.
So how hard is it for you guys to pull out, like, something? I'm terrible, again, like a Perfectris, which I've never managed. Have you done
What's
one
a Perfectris?
A Perfectris is, in Tetris Effect, when you use zone to build to the top of the screen in a single zone and clear the board with, like, 19 lines. It flashes Perfectris and pulls it up.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
no.
There's videos of it online.
I've gotten, like, two-thirds of the screen cleared out.
I think Justin's put it up and you go see him. I want to be Justin when I grow up when it comes to Tetris. I think Beat Saber, too. He seems like he's amazing.
It's so much fucking fun.
What do you think of the door opening with this? Now that we've set the creative res loose on Luminous's other creation and now Tetris, and you talk about something like Puyo Puyo Tetris, will we see a Luminous versus Tetris VR? Is that going to happen?
That's a great question.
See, I'm only going to play one side of that.
That'd be a great way to get Luminous to more people. That's the biggest thing. Is like I think I like Luminous. I think they're both great games. I like Luminous more than I like Tetris. But it would just be that idea that, if you bundle it up with that, same with how that got Puyo Puyo to way more people. Now, granted, I played one of them, and then I was like, I'll just only play Tetris. Thanks. Yeah.
I love Puyo Puyo. I think Puyo Puyo is great.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played Luminous, which is crazy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Luminous is good.
Yeah.
We got to get John Drake on the phone. I want Amplitude VR.
No, ooh, dude.
What do you mean? No?
I hate Amplitude. It'd be so good. Bad at it.
Why? Thumper is pretty much that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. But it's not Amplitude.
But have you played Thumper?
Yeah. I beat Thumper
in VR.
I played it in VR. I beat it on Switch.
Okay.
It's. I enjoyed the hell out of Thumper, and I'm not a rhythm person, but something about that game really grabbed me.
It's a really intense. Well-designed game.
Yeah. And I think tonight I'm going to go home and set up and play Tetris Effect in VR, and then some more Red Dead Online.
Hell yeah.
I'm really excited.
I'll try to crank out the script fast and join you.
Let me know.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
No problem. I'm going to go.
We're going to talk about Beat Saber.
Ooh.
Kevin, don't go anywhere.
Oh, man. So good. I'm not playing it on the VR, though.
Oh, yeah?
Now.
Oh, you played it on Oculus, right?
On Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm playing on PlayStation VR.
Honestly, I know that it doesn't qualify, but might be my game of the year.
How does it not qualify?
I mean...
Is this here?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Even the Oculus version was this
really?
Year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, dude.
Guys, might be my game of the year. I played Assassin's Creed. Great game. Put over 100 hours. If I do this right, I'm going to put over 100 hours on Beat Saber. And it, just with those 10 levels that come with it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's I am all about it, trying to perfect it, and I'm so bad at rhythm games.
I love that you're into this, man.
I am when I played for 20 minutes here, I was drenched in sweat. The room was humid.
Stinky.
Yeah. No, it wasn't stinky. Okay. It wasn't stinky.
It was humid.
Can you articulate what it is about it that makes it a Game of the Year contender for you?
It's just a game that when I start playing, I don't want to put down, regardless of how physically exhausted I am, and I get physically exhausted.
Yeah.
Because some of the levels, you've got the giant blocks coming over you, and I'm doing full-on squats to the ground that I didn't know I was capable of. But in the heat of the moment, the body does what it needs to. You know what I mean, guys?
So many people joked around about it with Tetris Effect. And I mean, even when I played E3 and loved it. But like for me, Beat Saber is a religious experience of video games. Because I play lots of games and, you know, you get beat by a boss. And, you know, I mean, or maybe you mutter, right? Beat Saber, again, the physicality of it and what you're doing, totally, every time, days later now. And I was joking around about it, but I'm trying to of making it like my at least wake up workout regimen. Not like workout, but like, you know, get my body moving. Because the story goes,
that's a workout.
When I got it on last Monday, it was the Monday we had come back from LA for Survivor Series. So I'd been up at 4 a.m. Jen had gone to Montreal. I got back home at 8 o'clock, installed it, and I played it. And it was that I finished it. And when I was too tired, because your arms get tired after, you know, it's like an hour and a half, I put it down, and it was like, man, I have so much energy. Like, that took me from being so tired to being fine. I'm like, I need to start doing this every morning. And so this week, you know, being back again in town or whatever, I've been doing it every morning for between 30 minutes to an hour. And depending on how much time I have and what day it is. And it's doing that same thing of, it's waking me up and I'm ready to go. Nice. And I'm out there and I'm sweaty as hell because it is that thing of I'm dropping low, I'm doing it. But on top of that, it's got the rhythm game mechanics of, like when I go and I, like, you know, when they're little bastards and the song's been normal the whole time. And then at the very end, they switch, like, it's a blue move. And then I go for a red, but it's another blue. And I hit him like, God damn it. I'm like, God damn it. And it's like, I'm still vocalizing all that. And I think it is the physicality and the movement and being so into it. But I'm so into it. And it is what VR is supposed to be of, I'm totally lost in that world. Yep, and then like I'll pop it off. I'm like, oh yeah, Jenna Pertillo here. Hey, sorry. You know what I mean? Like I shouldn't be yelling. Lucy's sleeping. Like I'm out there like an idiot screaming.
What makes Beat Saber very special to me is that it accomplishes its promise in a way that I think very few video games have of its goal is to make you feel fucking cool. And it never ceases to do that. You always feel like you're in control. You always know exactly what you're doing. The gameplay is so simple that, and I want to test this. I want to, like, Gia's never done VR. I just want to put it on her and just see how she does. Because I bet it would be one of those things of, like, she'd fail the first time, do one more, do the third time, and totally be in.
So this is going to be her gateway to VR, you think?
And I just think that it's, like, it's just such a damn cool, it's simple enough, but it adds just enough mechanics to make it complicated. And it's a beautiful arcade-style game where you want to best your score.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the biggest thing about it, right? Is I'm not the high score chaser. I'm not that thing, blah, blah, blah. When I'm working my way through in this workout or whatever, I'm working my way through story mode. But then they introduced at one point, I think up in like, number 12 or the 12th tier or whatever of like, now it's about, there's like, they're giving you different challenges, right? Because they only have so many songs. So it's like, this one was like, as minimal hand movement as possible. I was like, oof, that's not what I want right now in terms of waking up. So I jumped out, just went into free play, which normal of a free play of like whatever, like that's not really for me. What's the goal? What's pushing me? Instead of jump in there and go, and then I'm like, okay, cool. Wow, I almost did that all the way through. I'm gonna crank it up. Or I almost did that without a flaw. I'm gonna crank it up to hard and do that. Oh wow, okay. Well, damn. I click over and I'm like, Gifted Dim has a little bit more than me in points. I'm like, how do they do that if I only miss one? And then it's like, oh right, the modifiers. And I click over to the modifiers, and like you can, if you make it easier, it, you know, subtracts a multiplier. If you make it harder, it gives you more. So I'm doing that, and then it's like there was one morning for like 43 minutes that I played the same song over and over and over and over again, because the first one, of course, I missed like one. I was like, fuck, put it on no fail mode. Did it, and then I'm failing left. And then it's like getting in your head, but it's still like, ah, oh, fuck, I'm going to perfect this. And it's on hard.
I love that, because that reminds me of the zeitgeist of Guitar Hero, where, I mean, I loved DDR back in the day so
much. See, that's
much.
What it reminds me so much of is DDR.
But my thing with Guitar Hero is it's that score challenge. It's the social side of it, where it's just like you are looking at other people's scores, and you're like, I want to beat you. I want to be better than that.
And that's DDR why I like Kevin.
DDR was always in arcade, you're against the person you're with. This is more of like I have a goal that I'm constantly trying to do better. And that's why I love Amplitude so much, because for me it was me and Andrea back and forth with our scores. And like when I booted up, I can see where she's at, and I'm like, how the fuck did she do that? And it makes you like keep playing and like going on different tracks until you're like, ah, I fucking get it, and just go. I just love it, man.
No, it's Amplitude, Guitar Hero, Geo Wars. It's that arcade experience. And we forget that's what brought people into games originally, was looking at that high score bar in the local arcade, walking in and being like, I don't even know who this person is. I see their three initials. It's invariably ass, you know, and that's or sex. Ass or sex is better than I am. And I've got to beat ass or sex, and I'm going
to
try.
I mean, and it was that thing of, you know, I got to play a little bit and then went to Thanksgiving, and it was going to my cousin's house. And I was like, it was that thing of like, if you have a PlayStation 4, it's not going to take much to push me out right now to go get in a car and go buy this and bring it back for everybody to play it.
Yeah. For $200 too. Yeah. I was this close to buying one. Is it still $200 right now?
I forget what the deal is now.
Do it, Tim. Do it live.
You get the Beat Saber Borderlands bundle in a couple weeks.
What's up?
We did the Gary Whitta. Like it's a game when I'm not playing, I think about it. Like when I'm in it, time melts by. I'm having so much fun. I want to, you know, it's interesting that Tetris came out and everybody's like, oh man, like, you know what I mean? What a great PlayStation VR game. And then Beat Saber came out and I'm like, I like this more. And it's that thing that's been pulling me away from Tetris, but there's so many great reasons to put on the headset now.
I think if I have to choose between one, I definitely like Beat Saber more.
Yeah.
It's what Tim is saying is totally accurate about it, like, achieves its promise.
Yeah.
I just think its promise is incredibly ambitious.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been into beat game, like, you know, games that you have to keep rhythm games. Thank you. And this is just like, I'm so in love with this game.
And for me, it's always, I've had that ceiling to rhythm games where I loved Rock Band and Guitar Hero, but like, I was never going to be able to play an expert. Like, it's just impossible. I couldn't do that. And so, and DDR is fun enough, but it's not what I want to do, right? Playing Beat Saber, you know, I feel like the story mode on normal, I'm crushing, but then they start adding multiplayer or, you know, things. I'm like, all right, great, that's awesome. But then to go in and, you know, crank it up to hard and be like, all right, I did pretty well there. Crank it up to expert, get my teeth kicked in. But have that moment of like, I can do this though.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like, there's moments in Beat Saber hard where I'm going and it's like, it seems like gibberish at first. And then you're like, oh, it's because this I'm doing this like three different things with one hand. And then this one's just getting that right.
Well, that's the thing about brilliant rhythm game design is that the I'm totally
blanking
on what it's called. The note chart. Is designed in a way that is for movement that makes sense. Like back in a DDR, there's like techniques you learn, like galloping, where it's like when you look at it, it's like this. How the fuck am I supposed to move my legs that way? And then you realize it's like, oh, it's designed where you're supposed to do this like bounce thing. And once you learn the bounce, that's the easiest thing ever.
And
Guitar Hero has a similar thing where it's like there's certain patterns they'll never do because it's just too hard to hit with your fingers.
Yeah.
And with Beat Saber, they're teaching you to recognize patterns.
It's like playing The Witness really, really fast. I mean, you suddenly you do it enough and suddenly you speak the language. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait.
Okay. And that's the thing is, like, it's all natural, too. I talked to you about it, I think, on the Amazon stream in terms of that. As it's going, for the most part, if I'm going to swing up with my, you know, blue, the next blue is usually going to be down, right? Like they're doing it, and once you start getting the muscle memory of it, you know to leave your hand in a certain position unless it's a hard reset to come back to it.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I feel like going back to the fulfilling its promise, I think that in addition to it being a great rhythm game and all that, and it being simple and arcade style and all that, this is the best Star Wars game we ever got.
And it's like, oh my God, that's true.
Where it's like they really simplified and boiled it down to like what should a lightsaber game be?
Yeah.
And you know, we've never got that on the Wii with motion controls or with Kinect or
We never got our motion lightsaber game we wanted.
And this is essentially it's just like drone challenges of like
knocking
things out.
Stand there and let everything in half.
Things are coming at you, and it's like they did it. They fucking did it, and it works. Like that's the coolest thing they've had.
I agree.
Every time the song ends, I like touch my blades together.
Oh yeah,
sparks.
It's when I fuck, like, when I lose, I'm like, damn. Like I do it every time.
It's great. I'll
look down to see your feet. Look down to like the score. Carve it up or whatever.
Man, now I'm stoked to go play it.
Yeah, me too. And that's the thing is like I enjoy so much that like I'll finish doing it in the morning and go climb the shower, and then it's like Echo. You know, play Beat Saber soundtrack, and it's just like, well, it's gone. It's fucking
awesome. One last thing. I feel like I've always wanted to get a rhythm game that I like so that I could kind of get a better sense of rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I was playing the third, like, song, and it's got this part where you're going up and down with your left hand.
Uh-huh.
And there was a moment of like, oh, there's the beat. Like, I'm hitting it. Yeah.
What a game.
That's so funny. Thank you, Kevin. Greg, real quick, I just want to talk about Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Sure.
You platinumed it.
Platinumed Assassin's Creed Odyssey, everybody. 85 hours. It was
platinum
great.
Number what?
80. This is number 80. Number 80 on the nose. Yeah, now I'm going to go get a bunch of... I worked really hard on this one, so I'm going to go binge a bunch of garbage ones.
Do you have a plan for 100?
No, God, no.
Do you have a plan for 200?
God, no.
Okay, there we go.
Jesus, never.
The episode.
Okay.
No, not at all. I mean, when we get closer, maybe. But even then, it's like, ugh, such a, you know, like, what am I going to do? Am I saying I'm going to platinum Metal Gear again? Not a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gotcha, like, I'm never going to get anything. It was awesome. It's great. And it's you know, still my number two for game of the year. I can't wait to play more of it. I think it's still so remarkable what they're doing with that game for free, even if you want to take out like next week, you know, the DLC drops for episode one of the main DLC stuff for season pass. But you know, the way that even coming back from, I've talked about it in the show, I think, or many of our shows, but you know, the major update they gave in November that, of course, let me take the stats of one piece of gear, but the look of another. It's basically me playing now, and it's like fashion show, where I'm just like, oh, I want it. And I'm like going there tinkering, and then there's like subsets to change the colors on stuff. So
that's
I'm like,
great. What a great feature.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool.
Last night or early this morning, depending on where you live, right? They put in another free patch that adds that master ability stuff. So you've been, you know, level 50 was the level cap. The same thing with the ability to change the clothes. They upped it to 70. So you're still gaining all these ability points, but like at this point, you're so vested in what you're using. Why would you? You know what you're. Yeah. You know buttons are there. So all these ability points are building up, which you can now take and apply to this master ability thing, which will give you more fire damage, more whatever. You know what I mean? Like you go in and make the character even more custom, making it even better of an RPG. Platinuming it though, it was awesome. I was talking about it today on Games Daily. Somebody was like, "Oh, and like." You talk so much. You don't shut up about Odyssey, but you're still saying God of War is your game of the year. Why? And the differences. I think there's so much to do in Odyssey that, yeah, like I was saying, like, oh, I got to fast travel over there, get on the horse, ride over there. I didn't hate that at any point, but it was that, like, it was grindy of what I was doing. It was grindy to walk, you know, be pouring over the map, but everything was at my fingertips. There wasn't one of those trophies that I was like, oh God, how the fuck am I going to do this? And then doing it and not, you know, failing or something like that.
Yeah.
It was all there. There was no glitches. It all ran the way I want to. And I think the most important thing about it is traditionally, I am not I've platinumed the game. Oh, and they've put more trophies in. I'm going to go chase that, right? Like, I'm so all in for even the non-trophies parts of this. Like, this is obviously I'm going to go in and knock out the few DLC trophies there are right now already because they've already started putting that stuff in. But next week, run through and do that stuff. This is a game I want to keep the 100% at. Or I guess get back to 100 or get to 100% on rather than, like, ignore it. Like, Spider-Man, somebody hit me up. I was like, oh, man, like, are you going to go get every
new
trophy?
Game Plus and all that?
And I'm like, God, no, I'm not. I'd love to have time and all that stuff to go do New Game Plus on the hardest difficulty and all that. I'm not, and it doesn't bother me that I didn't. I have the Platinum. That's good enough. Whereas this one, I want to keep going. And it's another one of those goofy, lame, like, I just want to, it's my tip of the hat to that game. That game is so fucking good that I will follow it to the ends of the earth and whatever whatever they want to put in there and do, I'm going to be down to go play and do because it hung in the entire time. It was awesome the entire time. And 85 hours in, I'm still taking side quests and not skipping the dialogue.
Rad.
I'm like, you're an interesting character. Man, what do you have to say? All right, cool.
That's crazy.
Man, I'm still fucking everybody. Hell
yeah.
Everybody.
Hell yeah.
You know what
dude.
I mean?
Get
I got
your
cool,
fuck on,
got
Greg.
Got this nice white and gold outfit I'm rocking right
yeah.
now. Yeah. It's awesome.
Hell yeah. So many babies.
Yeah.
Jared.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about Pokemon Let's Go.
I did, just briefly, because I...
Pikachu yeah. or Eevee?
Pikachu, my okay. friend. Pikachu. Okay. Lightning okay. Rat. Lightning Rat for me. Yeah. So I am a man of my word mm-hmm. and a man of the people.
You are a man of the
these are all true statements.
So I had to show my fidelity to being a man of the people because it has... Last week on this show, I was talking about how I've never gotten into Pokemon. Y'all were mm-hmm. talking up the Eevee, talking up the Pikachu, talking up the Pokemans.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I really ought to give this a try. Greg Miller, can you get me a code? If you can get me a code, I'll try it. And Greg Miller said, I can get you a code. Then about 10 minutes later into the podcast,
got a text
said,
back saying,
I can't get you a code. But I'm a man of the people, so I dropped the money anyway because, nice. You know, because that's what the people have to do.
As did many other people,
and I'm a man of the people. Exactly. America. A lot of them. But I'm also a man of my word. It's been a busy week. But I had to go in there and try this out. So this is my first
foray
really back into Pokemon in a very long time. I've never gotten into the series. And after just a little time with this game, my initial assessment is Pokemon is fucked up.
It is.
Pokemon is strange.
It really is.
I appear and there's this old man and he's like, hey, he just says to me overtly, one of the first things in the game, some people are nice to Pokemon and others make them fight. And I was like, well, just you be you then. You be overt about that. That mm-hmm. sounds good. And then I go out and I enslave this sentient being mm-hmm. that
it
I
loves
meet.
It loves it.
It's like I will throw a ball, hit you in the head, capture you, take you. Then you sniff my hand and follow me around. And then I wander around in fields beating up animals and kidnapping them. Yeah. And keeping them in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
The game is interesting and I like it. It's simple, just as you described. But I can definitely see the loop of, hey, I got to get whether or not...
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if I can fill that Pokedex, that'll be fine. I could not give two hoots about the story. I named myself Pokemon. I name my rival Pokemon. And I'm naming all my Pokemon that I can name Pokemon. And that makes the dialogue a lot of fun. Let me
tell
Pokemon,
you why. It's me, Pokemon.
Exactly.
Let me show you my Pokemon.
There's a lot of that going on, and that's made the story more amusing.
I guess.
I really just could not care less. The music.
How far are you? How many badges do you
gosh,
have?
Gosh, no, I am nowhere. I am so early on, Tim.
Did you get a badge?
I don't even have a badge yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably an hour in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so real story there.
Huh? That's all bullshit.
Yeah, what? There's nothing. There's going to be right. Does it get better?
Yeah.
Am I about to find the Pokemon
totally,
lore?
Absolutely gets better.
All right.
Yeah, because it's like the thing with Pokemon dumbed down, it's like there's the main quest, which is get the 8 badges.
Yeah, get the
and
badges.
Then face the Elite Four.
Nah.
But there's side stories that go on that are the more interesting.
Are they going to interest me? Are they going to pull me in?
I mean, they're cool.
All right.
Like, there's a whole evil organization that's like, doing enslaving Pokemon, making them do bad things. You
I'm
stop
an evil
them.
Organization that's enslaving Pokemon.
No, you're
Pokemon.
Enslaving no, them for yeah, good yeah, things. Yeah, they're doing bad things.
I make them though. Fight each other.
I saw a Polygon article this week that was really funny and so accurate, where it's just like, the world of Pokemon is so interesting because it is just the world of Pokemon. There's not a single person that talks that isn't talking about Pokemon.
Yeah.
Everyone's fucking either a daycare person for Pokemon or like
they have a shop to sell you things that help you get Pokemon
stuff. It's like yeah. It's just Pokemon hospitals, Pokemon this.
Is it possible?
Hold on, fuck you. There's the bike guy.
Selling you bikes. That is true.
There you go. Greg Miller.
That is true.
Tim, is this a to serve man situation? Have you ever seen Twilight Zone to Serve Man, classic episode?
I don't remember this one.
No. Aliens come to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and they bring with them fantastic technology that makes human lives so much better. They bring peace to the planet Earth. They put force fields up between the nations that prevent wars.
Mm-hmm.
They serve and help and share their technology, and they take humans to trips to their home world, trips that are so marvelous to this utopian paradise that many choose never to come back. And they brought their sort of Bible, which is called To Serve Man, which is their purpose. And one of the guys finally decides to take the trip to the alien homeworld. And he's on the spaceship, but he's been working on translating it. And he finds out that To Serve Man is a cookbook on how to prepare people.
I like that.
And they're all being fattened up. Are the Pokemon, in fact, the masters? In this world that's obsessed with Pokemon, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, my thesis... The Pokemon are the true masters, and we are their slaves.
Wait till you get to Gen 5, Jared Petty. Things get real crazy.
All right, there we go. There we are.
Wait till you meet the god of Pokemon, Arceus.
Oh, my goodness, okay.
Shit gets crazy.
All right, but yeah, okay, so all this all this crap aside, I'm an hour into this little game, and I think it's fun. I like that I'm walking across green fields, and cute little animals come up to me, and there's happy music playing, and I throw balls at them.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to keep playing through?
Yes, I will.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm going to keep playing. I want you to beat this game, and I'm interested to see what you have to say.
I'm going to keep playing this game.
Yeah.
But I'm very early on.
I finally beat it, and it, you know, the first gen of Pokemon is the first gen. There's a lot of issues pacing-wise and, like, just weird issues. But at the end of it, I'm like, you know what? That was a nice little jaunt back.
I enjoyed myself.
You know what I mean?
I'm having a good time with it. I've been mostly it's been Red Dead for the show and other work I've had to do. But dividing my handheld time between that and I've actually gotten ridiculously into WarioWare Gold on the 3DS.
Yeah, you were talking about that last week.
That game's so good. That game's so good.
Really?
It's ridiculous. You were talking about Game of the Year type stuff? Like, that is a contender.
That's so weird.
It's really great.
I never got into the WarioWare games.
Yeah, it's
super up my alley,
I think
too.
It's the best WarioWare game.
Really?
And there's several good ones. Anyway, that's a whole other can of worms. But yeah, I like the Pokemans, and I'm speaking mostly from ignorance.
Again, I love it.
That's great. So
awesome. He also chose Pikachu, so you were wrong from the start. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kind of Funny Gamescast is brought to you by Movement. Let me tell you about Movement. Oh, yeah. Movement watches. You're familiar with Movement watches. They got Movement sunglasses. Cool, Greg, are you wearing yours right now? I know I'm putting you on the spot here. It's on his desk. Okay, he has the rose gold one, though. You get compliments on that?
Yeah, but I give myself a lot more compliments than I get.
Yeah? Well, that's the thing. It's worth bragging about. Ladies and gentlemen, Movement watches, they never go out of style. They're so much classic style. Quality construction, styled minimalism. Movement did all the hard work this holiday season so you wouldn't have to. And they made awesome gift boxes and packages. These make great presents. I've gifted Gia sunglasses many times. She loves them. Wears them all different occasions. Was she trying to look trendy and cool on the streets? Or what's up? She doesn't wear them inside. She has a hard no sunglasses inside policy. Kevin Coelho wears his inside. Because he's Kevin Coelho, and he doesn't really have rules. If you need help giving the perfect gift this season but don't know where to start, the guys over at Movement Watches got your back. They've curated all their favorite styles into special gift boxes for you so you can absolutely crush the holiday season without the added stress. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/kinda. Movement's launching new styles on their site all the time. Check out the latest at mvmt.com/kinda. That's mvmt.com/kinda. Join the movement. This episode is also brought to you by Stamps.com. These days, you can get practically everything on demand, just like our podcast. You can listen anytime you want when it's convenient to you. But guess what? You know what you can also do on demand? Get postage.
Joey's
been doing this all the time. We ship out so much stuff here at Kinda Funny, and Stamps.com has helped out so much. It's so simple just being able to go sign up, get the things that we need, and not have to deal with going anywhere. You know what I mean? With Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office right from your desk. You can buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package. It's all available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click print, mail, and you're done. Cool, Greg? Does that make you happy? You have to ship a lot of stuff.
This last week's the first time we put into effect. It's been so easy.
Like, there you
half
go.
Half of it was just done.
Huh?
Half of it just seemed like it was just done.
There you go. That's the best recommendation you can get. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time. Right now, you can use Gamescast.
Thank you.
For this special offer of a 4-week trial, including postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Gamescast. That's Stamps.com and enter Gamescast. Get your stamps.
Get your stamps. Back put them over there where them stamps go. They went on a postage.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Yes, sir.
This week, there's been a lot going on. This game Fallout 76 comes out.
Yeah.
All right. We've seen...
It's been out before.
What's up?
Oh, this week. Okay.
Yeah.
I was making sure you understood that it didn't come out this week, but I understand where you're going with the statement.
Yeah, this week there's been a lot of, like, the game came out, people overall didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Some people liked it more than others, but overall left a bad taste in people's mouth.
Yeah.
And it continues to do that. Over this last week, we've seen more and more headlines kind of talking about all the mistakes that Bethesda made with this game, whether it's just the game simply not working correctly, all the way down to the $200 pre-order bonus for the collector's edition.
The collector's edition, $200 collector's edition.
With a promised canvas bag is actually a nylon bag, which is a lot cheaper in quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their answer to make those people happy was to give them a $5 in-game credit.
500 atoms.
Yeah.
They can get you some succulents. $5.
They gave you some in-game stuff that's worth $5 in real life, but that's not good.
No. Yeah.
So I ask you guys, what should Bethesda do to get out of this situation, to fix this situation as best as possible?
I mean, that's hard. Once you've broken trust on something, and that's the perception that some people have in the situation, I think particularly around the bag thing, what you have to do, I think, is be very transparent about it. Now, it's hard for a corporate entity to depict transparency. That's a difficult thing because a corporation is not a person. It's an assemblage of people, not all of whom had the same opinions on what should happen or how it should happen. But you need to have your decision makers in your company come together and reach a very congruent statement that doesn't sound like PR speak, that is concise, direct, and outlines what the plan for change will be and when that plan will take place as accurately as possible. So I think what you do first is you make the bag thing right with an actual reimbursement of some kind, and take the hit. You take the loss. You take whatever it'll cost to make this right outside of the game, and you solve that PR/customer trust issue problem right there. Then when it comes to Fallout 76, you come forward and say, we're proud of the work we did, but it's obvious there are issues with this game based on public response. So we're going to address this, and this in game, and we're going to try to have that done by, well, we'll let you know. Because I think promising a date, if it's not possible to promise a date, might be problematic. Internally, you're going to need to restructure and retool your DLC plans so that you were addressing not what your pet project on this was before, but what people were actually asking for right now to make it an enjoyable experience, and retool around that. If internally you are not capable of doing that, if you don't have the infrastructure and the plan in place to make that kind of change work, then I think you come out and say, and you drop it like a hotcake and move on to the next thing.
Do you think that's a possibility? Can they pull the plug on Fallout 76?
I think that they can let it do what Nintendo does when something doesn't work and let it die a quiet death very quickly. Something somebody pointed out to me once about, you remember the Virtua Boy? Mm-hmm. The Virtua Boy was abandoned by Nintendo in roughly 6 months. From the time it was launched to the time they stopped making games for it, about 6 months. They're just like, whoop, this ain't going to fly, and they just dropped it. And Nintendo's done that with several things. Just like, oh, that didn't work out, gone. We already made our money, gone. Moving on to the next thing, investing in what works. I don't know their books. I don't know their internal culture, and it's easy for me sitting at this desk to say that. But I can tell you this. Trying to massage your way through audience expectations always skirts perilously close when you're just trying to make it work so that what you want to do or what's expedient for you as a company is not necessarily what's good for your audience or what they want. You come perilously close to the cliff of holding your audience in contempt. And the moment, as an entertainment company, that you begin to hold your audience in contempt, you have lost the ability to make an effective toy, and they will recognize it. Because ultimately, video game companies are toy makers. They are there to serve fun and fantasy. And when you're trying to bridge that gap, you're doing neither, and people can see right through it. Those are my thoughts.
The people that are upset with Fallout 76, of which there are many, do you think that there is enough of them that will not support the next Bethesda game for it to matter one way or another?
You're just way too far down the line. You're way too far down the line. Is it that what we're at is that decision and that choice is based on what happens next. That's the problem we're at right now, right? Like, so I agree with a lot of what Jared said, right? If I'm suddenly granted that if we don't want to do this anymore, Greg, you're in charge of Bethesda. Oh shit, okay.
Oh shit.
My first let's get on this nylon bag thing, right? Like, yeah. What I think Bethesda needs to do is what we've always complimented them on is be the company of the people again and have Pete or whoever you want to, the developers, whatever, talk. Do a live stream that is a no bullshit. We're Bethesda. Yeah. We have nothing. We don't have to worry about it, right? Like they get to curse on the stage and do all these different things and talk to their fan base, right? You saw the apology they put up on Reddit and all that stuff. The way they said, right, we didn't want you to think the silence meant nothing was happening. We're sorry and understand this was not the right approach, and we'll work to build a better bridge between you and the dev team at BGS, right? There's more to it. There was another statement too in a blog. But they need to double down on that, and they need to be like, guess what? I know that this sounds like shit. It's what we've done. It kind of funny, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I think in terms of us being an entertainment company and them being a video game company, it's very similar in terms of, especially even the attitude, right? It should just be, hey, everybody, Fallout 76 Town Hall on Monday, 10 a.m., come be a part of it. And it is Pete, it is the developer, it is a host, it is whoever you want it to be being there, and just like literally no script or anything, and just being like,
let's talk.
So what the fuck is going on? Like, let's get everybody on the same page and let's commit to doing these kind of things a lot. You know what I mean? I don't know if they need to be weekly, but probably weekly, at least in the beginning as we go and peel back of like, where the game get off track? What is the next big fix? Because I feel like if you were talking to the community and having an open conversation and not letting headlines and Reddit threads and Twitter do the work, it'd be a different story, right? Of literally on that first thread, I'm like, all right, let's get ahead. What happened? Where are we at with the game? Blah, blah, blah. Great. Next point of business. This fucking nylon bag bullshit. What happened? Yeah. And then, because I've seen there's like, well, the material's hard to get and this changed my, why didn't anybody tell anybody? Why did they not think that was something to tell them? Okay, you didn't tell them. Who thought 500 atoms was a good idea? And be like, well, like what we were talking, I was talking about on Games Daily, right? I would be like, all right, cool. Instead, what we're going to do is give everybody who did that, I'm going to give you $50 of in-game cash, right? Because again, this is just in-game cash. It's just, I'm not cutting it out of anybody. I'm actually, for a lot of people, probably encouraging them to turn the game fucking back on. I bet a lot of people turn it off and like, I don't want to play this anymore, walked away, right? Here's $50. Go buy an outfit or two. Go do this, blah, blah, blah. While we're talking about what's broken with the game in general, too, so there's some kind of reward pack I'm giving you. If you've turned it on in the first, since that day till this day, right, you're going to get whatever it is. I don't, you know, a whole bunch of aluminum, a whole bunch of scraps, a whole bunch of different stuff that you would need in the game, right? There's a bunch of in-game stuff like that to get people back into it to hopefully find that the patches that already put out have made things more stable, have already done things. But then it does need to be cool. Your trust in us as Bethesda is what matters the most to us. We understand that for many of you, we violated that. The bag thing wasn't on purpose. I assume wasn't on purpose. We weren't trying to pull the wool over your eyes. This changed, and in whatever's happening over in the marketing fulfillment department over there isn't talking to what's happening in Todd Howard's department. So, you know, these things happen and it wasn't on purpose. We understand that. But more importantly, we understand we asked a lot of you to come with us on this journey as we make Fallout into a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
We asked you to trust us and believe in us and we know what we're doing. And this is, again, what I'm talking about, like what happens from here on out. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. This is an Xbox moment, right? We have a vision and we have a plan. And the game isn't where we want it to be, and it isn't where you want it to be, but we're going to get there. We're still going to prove to you in X months, X weeks, in X days, and you know whatever, why we say this game needs to exist, how much fun this game can be. The fact that it's out there, the party system isn't where we want to be. You know what I mean? But basically, someone needs to get up, stand up, and be like, we're still in, period. Not even if you're still, we're still in, and if you're no longer in and you're mad that you bought it, we're going to make this game great so that in 6 months, a year, you hear about the major update that comes out and you're like, I want to put it back in and I want to play it. Because again, they don't have the luxury of being Nintendo in Virtual Boy status, right? It's a different industry, let alone they're such a different company. I was talking to you about this today, right? Like Bethesda needs to immediately right the ship and have the mea culpa and hey, we fucked up and hey, we're fixing this and we're going to get it there with the little things before they can have even their Destiny 2 giant Forsaken
That's where I was leaning,
But I mean, on top of that, I don't know if you can even get to the Destiny Forsaken announcement, we have understand, blah, 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 before you get to E3. And I don't think you can go in and have the Bethesda E3. Now think about like the dominoes that are happening in terms of they need to right the ship now on this so that this admitted problem doesn't fester and become something so much worse that people are not going to watch the press conference.
There is one other approach, and when I brought up the Game Boy analogy, the Virtual Boy analogy, it was to address this. I think everything you just said makes tremendous sense if they can deliver it within that timetable.
Yep, then that's the problem.
That's a logistical issue.
Yeah.
If they can possibly do that, if there's a way to make that work that doesn't involve imbuing their employees, you know, forcing everybody into horrible overtime and if there's a way to do that, then do that, because that's the way to make it right. If not, fix the bag thing, come out and be transparent about what happened. And if you can't fix it, what you walk out and say is, we're sorry, we screwed up, we will do better next time, and you drop it.
Wow.
That's the other possibility, because the only thing worse than that is promising you can fix it and not being able to in time.
And that's here's worse. My thing, and I understand, like, this is such a weird conversation to have, right? Because at this point, the quality of the game, not the bugs, not the connection issue, not the bugs, not the connection issues, not the bag, not the public trans, not like we're so far removed from the game that as somebody who enjoys the game as it is now, and like, you know what I mean? Like I'm going to play more Fallout probably this weekend, right? Like just run around and keep building out my little thing and seeing what's going on. The game, and this is my personal opinion on it, obviously. The game and the mechanics inside of it are not fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
And can slash are fun. They can be and they are fun. So I think, honestly, like...
It's fixable.
The problem people have, again, right? And again, this is no one from Bethesda communicating the message and what the vision is. And again, Bethesda, a company that, you know, Pete Hines, I always... Pete's the mouthpiece, obviously. He's the guy who does our shows and every other show. Answering questions, tough questions that are lodged in, right? The fact that no one from there is saying... Well, no, like, yeah, there's no NPCs in the game, but the robots are the NPCs. The robots are interesting. The holotapes are interesting. Like, we have 180, and I'm making that number up. Again, back if I've been given Bethesda. We have 180 hours of VO recording time in these things, and they're interesting, but we want you to blah, 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 you know what I mean? Like, the game itself isn't completely off track. The reviews, right, always get hung up on. Man, and it just fucking crashed a bunch, and I have a good PC. It shouldn't run like shit. And why is the guy in T-pose when I come in? And why am I shooting this enemy and it's not reacting to me? And why did this guy get stuck in a wall, right?
And yeah. What's in the post game? That's the other
part. Oh, of course, yeah.
That's a content issue.
And it is the, man, it feels really lifeless. The area feels really, the world feels really lifeless. And it could be, again, Bethesda just going in this live stream, right? Being like, listen, yeah, the world is lifeless. You're the first people to come out of the vault since the explosion went off. I know that sounds like an out. And again, if this is coming in like a conversation, I know it sounds like an out. It's not an out. It's what we designed because we want you to have communications. And another, and like, again, one of our problems is, yeah, the map's the biggest we've ever done. Maybe that wasn't the best idea with 12 players on it.
And that's the problem that I'm worried about, Greg, is that it might just be that the game, which is full of fundamentally good ideas and some very solid mechanics, because I'm not a hater on this thing at all.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
What I'm worried about, and the reason I keep dancing here, is if they do an internal audit and they have the resources to fix it within an acceptable timeline, a timeline that'll actually affect people's opinion, say E3.
Yeah.
But that's only 7 months away. I'm not sure that Bethesda, and I don't know their internal structure, has the resources to completely retool a massive multiplayer online AAA 100%. Game in 7 months and fix all these things. I don't know if they can.
You're 100% correct.
And if they can't, then my thoughts are this. In either situation, what you lean into is the fact that most people, and I really do believe this, want to like things. They want to like games. There are always people out there that don't want to like things. But right now what we have are people that normally are used to enjoying things that got really enthusiastic. They're just like, this isn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
And they want to forgive. I think you lean in and say, because if they look and they go, if this pushes their next project out another year, then that pushes, that's tens to hundreds of millions of dollars. They may not be able to absorb the blow. They may have to cut and run. And if they do, I think you got to look people in the eye and say, this game isn't what we hoped. The next one will be. And we're moving on to that.
You are on point with so much of that. And I'm not arguing. And that's why I just think it's fascinating. This is another, in terms of what we're talking about with like streaming technology, next generation, right? This is another, holy shit, like it could, like, I know it sounds crazy, but stick with me. This could be Bethesda's THQ UDRAW tablet of like, well, we bet wrong here and now we're fucking hung out here. And that's the thing for me, and especially with what you're talking about, and me with Domino's, is that I don't expect the game to be, oh man, it's recovered and everything's awesome and everybody loves it. It's not going to pull a No Man's Sky, right? Or even Elder Scrolls Online by E3. Yeah. I feel you have to, I'm working in this analogy and this hypothetical on the assumption that there was going to be a Bethesda press conference this year, right?
So that's a question I want to ask. Is there a Bethesda press conference?
And see, this is where I'm going with where I'm going. I'm under the assumption on paper there is.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to turn the tides of this thing before it gets worse, as it's clearly every day getting worse. Turn the tides on this so that the well isn't poisoned, so that what you have to be, you have to get in the next 7 months or six, right? You have to get you have to get this positive. You have to get this message positive again. Yeah. Of we're doing the right things. We're working on it. We'll reveal our Forsaken at a different time. We're just calling it Forsaken. And then E3, you have to have Forsaken ready to go, which is a monumental task of turning it around and telling you why this game is going to be fixed and what it's going to be. Because you can't. If you say, guys, hey, we tried in the next 7 months. Hey, guys, we tried. We fucked up. This can't. We can't. This Fallout 76 is what it is. We're pulling the plug. Whatever you want to say. You get to E3 and There's no amount of falling on the sword that wins you back what you've lost. And that, because that, then it is like, it's the same thing of getting there and have they just shot themselves in the foot? How much of their community, the Bethesda community that buys Fallout shoes and shirts and all this crazy shit, right? Like, how many of them have stuck around? How many of them believe it? You know what I mean? Like, this is literally their worst nightmare to see going. I've always followed the Fallout subreddit and then the Fallout 76 subreddit, and the way people talk on there of like, do you have brand loyalty? Will you buy this game again? Like, what? Like, these are the Jesus Christ, not the conversations you want to have 2 weeks following the launch of this game.
The other possibility is that we haven't talked about this yet, is that they also understood even better than we do what a risk this was, that they took a AAA risk, mm-hmm. and that they do have a buffer built against it. I think that there's at least some buffer in there. The fact that they released the game they did when they did, across from Red Dead, across from Odyssey, across from, you know, virtually across from Smash.
Yeah.
And that they went out with what they did anyway, not seeing this response coming, leads me to believe that they might have had to have gotten it out at this point. Yeah. Like, instead of delaying it, instead of pushing it down the road. Yeah. That they may have just had to push it out the door. And that doesn't make me confident that they have the resources in place to do a Forsaken and fix everything that's already broken and do it in time. And again, I could be completely, I'm talking out of my butt here. For all I know, they're going to come out next week and be like, we're fixing it. Here's the timetable. Here's how we're going to do it. And they've got to, or they're going to push something else down the road a year and make it happen. And boy, would I be thrilled, because I'd love to see them make good on a broken product. But live service games are a pain in the butt, man. Yeah, I mean, maybe they had a Destiny plan. Maybe they looked at that and said, no, man, it's going to suck for a year and then it'll be good. Yeah. Maybe they knew that internally the whole time. And if they did, then they're already set up to fix all this. And we're talking moot. And the problem is that they stayed silent when they should have talked.
Yeah. The way to fix this, right, is to talk and talk and talk.
So this is impossible. Yeah. Like, they would never do this. I don't think it's the right business move. But to go with what you're saying of like, they can't just cut and run.
Cut and run, yeah.
What if they cut and run and refunded? And like, they would never do that, because then they lost the cost of developing the game and would have to, like, they're losing a lot of money. But do you think that that would make people happy enough going into an E3 of just like, they fucked up, they admitted it, and...
Well, when they say cut and run, I want to be clear. I you fulfill your obligations. Like, you don't take the game offline. Anything you've promised, you still have to deliver at that point. And I don't know what they have. I mean, season pass wise, etc. I don't even know what the structure for 76 is.
I don't know.
You leave the servers on. It's not like you took the game away from people. You just sold people a mediocre video game. You know, if this weren't a live service game, I'm not sure we'd be having this conversation. Sometimes games come out and they're disappointing.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
And maybe that's just what we're looking at here. Internally, they just look and go, we made a big old multiplayer game, and guess what? It's not good. Sorry about that. We usually make good games. See Dishonored 2. See Doom. See Prey. See all the things we did last year and the year before that and the year before that. Man, we screwed up. We don't do that much. We won't do it again.
But it's just so different, though, right? Because it's Bethesda Game Studios. Don't get me wrong. They published a bunch of those games, obviously. But like, this is like, Todd Howard came out on stage and walked you through this, right?
You're right.
And that's the problem here. Of you can't take away from the. Yeah, maybe they just made it. Maybe if it wasn't a lot, if they put out a Fallout period single player that didn't run, there would be this conversation still. Like, this is one of the names amongst names when you talk about IP that's valuable, right? Elder Scrolls and Fallout, like, they're up there with everything else in terms of, holy shit, world stops when these kind of games come out. Yeah. And so the fact that it was that we saw it, you know, and this is why I know the, if you want to be the haters being so happy about all this, right? Like, last year's Game Awards was the video from Bethesda that was like, single player isn't dead, single player is awesome. Then it was like, hey, we're making a Fallout game. And the initial reaction was from the audience, we don't want that, right? Like, that's not what Fallout is.
We talked about this last week, I think it was last week a bit, about Pokemon Let's Go. When that was announced, so many people were just like Pokemon fans, like, this isn't what we want. Like, what the fuck is this? But the game ended up coming out, and not everyone's happy, but I would say the majority of people are like, all right, this sure, is cool. Yeah. It's not what I'm looking for. That's coming later. But
I
like,
think it's fun.
I'm having a good time with this, whatever. What is it feeling with Fallout? It's not that situation. It is the majority of people are like, told you so. This is not good.
What happens if you come to, we talk about a Bethesda press conference, whether it's a conference or not, we get to E3, and suddenly Elder Scrolls is there. I mean, it's all forgiven. You know, let's say they just kill this thing and Elder Scrolls is there. I don't think there's a universe where Elder Scrolls, whether it was planned or not before, I would bet portions of my anatomy we will see something about Elder Scrolls this year at E3 now. Like, whether
something, anything, yeah, turn the tides on this.
There will be something about Elder Scrolls because, no, we make this too. Remember, good games? Like, that's going to happen.
My thing is, and this all gets complicated, and I feel like this is not a safe bet at all because I do feel like I say this every year and it ends up happening. But, like, we all thought Bethesda doing a press conference was a one off, and then it wasn't. Yeah. And then it just kept going. It's like, oh shit, they're proving they can do this. And we kind of just expect them to always be there. Regardless of this Fallout 76 stuff, I would still say, I don't think they're going to do one. And like, now that this is happening, I'm like, I really don't think they're going to do one.
I don't think you can. I do think they plan one. I do think it's going to cost them a ton of money to cancel it and push all and like, it's going to delay projects too. But I think at this point, and I think again, speaking to who, and I don't know Bethesda, but like the Bethesda I do know, I do think this is a, all right, fuck, let's make this right. I can't imagine this. That's not who this company is that, again, that I know. And I'm saying as a consumer, as a fan, whatever, that would be like, guys, we're not supporting anymore. It didn't go. They're going to sit there and be like, all right, shut everything else down. Everybody get in this room. We're licking our wounds and we're going to make this right.
Yeah, that's the call I want to see. I want to be clear about that. I've talked a lot about it, them running away from it. I want to see that call, but I only want to see that call if they can deliver. And I don't, because I do think that we talk about making that call, but if you do not have the infrastructure in place to deliver it and you can't build it, don't promise it. Yeah. That just makes things worse.
Sure.
But because you only get one apology. You can't come right back on the same game and be like, no, we fixed it. No, we fixed it this time. No, this time.
I didn't follow it closely enough back in the day, but apparently people like to point out Elder Scrolls Online wasn't a huge hit when it came out, but it got there, right?
Yeah,
that's the same thing. I feel like, you know, Andrea on the show was talking about getting those guys in, the ZeniMax folks who did that one, to come in and talk to that. And I have to imagine if you're there, it is all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. What is the list? But again, that should be, I think at some point that list needs to be shared sooner than later. Because it does need to be that, like, yep, we see it and we're working. And they've detailed two updates, obviously, in terms of what's happening. But again, it's, I'm not trying to at all pat myself on the back or tell me this is why I should listen to Greg Miller. But it was, remember when they put out the letter, and we talked about this in Games Daily, but they put out that letter leading into it of like, we're so excited. We have this vision for Fallout. You're going to join us. It's going to be rough here in the beginning. And it was like, oh no. Like if a video game publisher is telling you, or developer is telling you it's going to be rough, that means it's going to be a train wreck, and it's a train wreck, right? And so like them putting out this update that's like, yep, we're increasing the stash from whatever, I think it's 300 to 600 or something. And they're like, we know keep in mind, they're like, we know that's still not enough, but we have to see if that breaks the game. You're like, woof. Like this game is such, you know, like, yeah, if they should have.
It seems like a chip before it was ready.
Of course. And I think and again, like, you can sit there and be like, well, why did they call it the beta and sell early access? Or why didn't they do this, blah, 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 blah? And it's all these different things that still come back to the fact that that works when you're PUBG when you literally are player unknown and you're releasing this game and you're trying to figure it out and you're
not,
a couple people.
It does
people,
not work, it when, doesn't it's work your when you're
Bethesda.
Main event.
Your Bethesda.
Of your
yeah,
E3.
I mean, we could look over at Red Dead and say, well, Red Dead Online's having some, but they also sold a 100-hour generation-defining single-player game in the same box.
The problems Red Dead Online's beta are having are not in the same
league either. Right.
I've not run into any character that's just standing there.
Exactly.
Or I run up and
shoot
him and they're just standing there.
Oh, yeah, and it's that.
Or seen someone go from a Scorch to a real character. Like,
not to mention the fact that that's a free add-on to a gigantic, huge single-player game for the same price. So yeah.
Interesting stuff.
It's interesting. It is sad for the players.
It's so sad.
It is sad
for
these developers. It's sad. I
wanted to see this game do well. I wanted to see it be good.
Yeah.
I love that they took a AAA risk. It's so rare.
Right.
But they didn't make a good game.
Yeah. That's my thing. How do they fix this? They have to make it right, and they have to stop everything else, even though that means it will cost you everything. But again, you can't come out now at E3 and be like, still working on Fallout, don't worry. But, and no, nobody's going to care what the but. No one's going to care what the but is. You know what I mean?
No, I think if you drop it, you don't start with still working on Fallout. You just don't mention it at
and then,
all.
And that would be all anybody
talks
out
before,
about.
You come out beforehand, several months beforehand, and say, yeah, okay, this is.
See, going off something you just said, and earlier I brought up a point of will people care? Like, will enough people care? It's like you're saying you can't say but, and then here's this thing. But can't you? Like, can't they be like, and Skyrim, and then
no,
the Skyrim people are going to care?
Well, yeah, but it's just going to be that every sentence about that is going to be loaded with, they showed Skyrim, but it's still crazy they haven't fixed Fallout. Yeah, I'm excited about Skyrim, but I have to wait and see because I saw what happened with Fallout. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many caveats that you have to make that right before you can build on it.
I just feel like we're so inside on this where it's just like, you're right within the circle of people that we roll with. But in terms of like the people that Skyrim fans, I'm sure that it's a small sliver that give a fuck about Fallout 76. You know what I'm saying?
That's important. Yeah, the Bethesda core community and the people, because I love Fallout. I didn't buy Fallout 76. I canceled my pre-order because I was like, this is a game I'll probably play eventually, but I don't have time this fall.
Yeah.
And I realized that, and then now I probably won't ever buy it. And I think, within the target demographic for a game like this. So that's the other bit is one that, but you talked about the people that buy the shoes, the people that buy, those are the people you don't want to alienate. That's your core. That's a really important group of people to your business. I do think that there's a tendency in messaging to assume we can have more control than we do. That's a very important aspect of video game marketing that I think it gets forgotten. Historically, Bethesda is extremely smart about the way that they market their video games. They're incredible. Heck, Fallout 76 was marketed beautifully up to this point. I just hope they don't fall into the trap of confusing controlling the message with delivering a sincere message. The message is now out of their control in many ways. The message has taken on a life of its own. What they can do is walk in and begin the process of what the next narrative will be.
Yeah.
Or they can make things a lot worse if they're not careful. So,
well, I mean, that's why I think it's got to be hit on Twitch, whatever it is, talking to each other, no paper cards in front of you, just having this conversation, like whatever. That's how you've got to hit.
So you're saying Pete Hines comes in, sits down with Greg Miller right here, talks about the
whole thing. Sure.
Sounds like a good point.
But I mean, like, I'd love to have, I'd want a developer too. Like, not that I don't, I mean, Pete's obviously the mouthpiece, but like, where are we? What's happening? What's the roadmap? Where
you can
going?
Bring Todd too.
Oh, thank you. Okay, good. Well, yeah, you want to book these tickets? Go for it. I'd love to talk
I'm
to everybody
for that.
About this.
You can bring Pete and Todd here?
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, you figure it's just so crazy. You know what I mean? And then it is that since it's so off track now, again, with like, you know, what that game actually is and then everything on top of it, the way the subreddit and fan base have now doubled back to the fact that like they paid Ninja to play it. They did that crazy influencer event in West Virginia. Like, it's back to why the fuck are they spending money on that when they should have been spending, you know what I mean?
That's the part departmental joy right there.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Marketing budgets versus dev budgets.
Totally not. It's not apples to apples. Again, now that we're here, every choice you've made to this point is nickel diamond.
No,
everything you've said is overanalyzed.
The good news is that if you want to play a good Fallout game right now, you can go to your Nintendo Switch and play Wasteland Definitive Edition. And you should, because it's great. Best Fallout game, Wasteland 2, is on Switch right now, and it's one of the best Fallout games ever.
And Obsidian's been doubling down on, hey, they have the creators of Fallout, two of the creators of Fallout making a game that is debuting at the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good there. But yeah, there's a good Fallout game with everything but the Fallout name on it right now on Switch that you can play. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played Wasteland?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Teenage Wasteland.
Thank you very much for that. Jared, we are actually going to hold Mobile Gamer Bullshit until next week, yet again.
I feel like I'm being bumped again. I think the tide is over.
Good flows, you know what I mean?
Tide is over.
I want to respect people's time.
I understand.
You know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the post-show. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Kind of Funny Games cast. Let's see, when does this go live? It goes live Friday and then Monday.
This goes live. This is the last one you'd see live on Monday before.
Enjoy so many beautiful things. We have the Game Awards this week. Thursday. We got Super Smash Brothers this week. We got the Kind of Funny Games Showcase Saturday at 10 a.m. on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Yeah. Followed by the after party, Smash
Followed
Brothers.
Followed by the Smash party. Smash party.
I was saying it like that.
I'll see you guys in the post show. Love you guys.
Post show. Yes.